Welcome to The Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Hi, Gabriella.
Hey, Scott.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This week is the week of February 12th to the 18th. We are covering five transits, which are highlighted. Really, there's like three big highlights because there's a lot of shifting happening this week.
Okay.
There's three planets moving into new signs.
So if
you're tired of the way the energy's been, we are shifting into a new frequency here where Mars is going to transit into Aquarius. Venus also transits into Aquarius. And the Sun transits into Pisces.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So we've got that broken down over five transits. Lots happening here. Let's begin with Mars in Aquarius. So Mars, the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict, transits into the fixed air sign symbolized by the water bearer, Aquarius. Mars begins its transit through Aquarius on February 12th, Monday, and it transits through Aquarius all the way until March 22nd. So as Mars transits into Aquarius, it forms a conjunction with Pluto. Pluto is still at 0 degrees in Aquarius, where it was on January 20th when it transited into Aquarius. So as every planet moves into a new sign, an air sign, a fire sign, or a fixed sign, it's going to form an alignment with Pluto.
Okay. What does that alignment with Pluto bring us? What would you, if you could distill that?
Well, Pluto's transformation. Pluto is the god of death, lord of the underworld, the planet of transformation. So anytime a planet aligns with Pluto, it brings transformation to the energy of the planet that is aligning with it. So the energy of Mars is the god of war, the planet of conflict, courage, authenticity, being direct, taking action. So these frequencies are going to go through a transformation as Mars crosses paths with Pluto.
So Pluto is the transforming energy itself. It's the transformer, so to speak.
Yes.
It's transforming whatever it comes into contact with.
Yes. So Pluto coming into contact with Aquarius is transforming, as we talked about a few weeks ago when we were discussing the Sun and Pluto transiting into Aquarius together back on January 20th. Pluto in Aquarius is transforming our relationship to the community. It's transforming our sense of independence, our individuality, our innovative ideas. It's broadening our perspective. It's pushing us outside the box. And then Mars shows up and forms a conjunction with Pluto, and that's going to transform how we act in the community, how we show up in the community, how we are authentic in expressing our independence, our individuality. So there's somewhat of a wildness, in a sense, to this Mars conjunct Pluto when the god of war and the god of death aligned together in the same sign. There's going to be some sort of explosive shift. This transit with Mars and Pluto, we started to feel this yesterday on Sunday, February 11th. And this is going to continue until Thursday, February 15th.
Well, I think of, I guess the way I'm conceptualizing this is if you had two people whose charts were connecting in such a way that Pluto was making contact with Mars, that would be a potentially volatile relationship, right? Or there would be potential for explosive kind of dynamics, right?
So you're saying if your Pluto is aspecting another person's Mars.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to bring this into like a practical level of a relationship so we can kind of understand
when I think of
that
Pluto,
dynamic.
So there's two different ways to think about it. You can think about it in relationship or you can think about it in yourself. I mean, there's people out there who were born with Mars conjunct Pluto or Mars square Pluto or Mars sextile Pluto or Mars opposite Pluto or trine Pluto. You could be in a relationship with somebody who is aspecting your Pluto or your Mars. That brings some very powerful combustible energies where I think of it like when I look at somebody's chart and I see, oh, Mars is aspecting their Pluto. That's not somebody that you really want to mess with. Like there's something in them that they have this intense power, this intense will. And they are willing to go after whatever it is they want at all costs. And so if you have that energy with another person, the two of you together could be an incredibly dynamic duo that, like, you don't want to face off with those two. When those two are on the same page with something, like, they're an unstoppable force. But it could also mean a conflict between those two people if they aren't seen eye to eye.
Okay. So that's what it would mean on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we zoom out, you're talking about this on a collective level.
Yes.
So there's the potential for things to kind of go two ways. You're saying it can be transformative in terms of kind of breaking through boundaries in a way that's has the potential for healing, it sounds like, or it could also have a shadow side to it.
Well, I think like the positive side is that there could be some sort of unexpected breakthrough that maybe somebody has an idea of that is going to progress society into the future, or maybe something comes about at this time where there is some sort of, like, this was the day that the water bearer showed up in the village with the jug. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's life changing. Like, there is the potential for that kind of energy here.
Okay.
On the flip side, it could mean the shadow side is something unexpected happening within society that creates greater conflict.
Okay.
But there's some sort of radical shift. Some sort of radical shift is occurring right now.
I'm curious, when there's this potential, and there's this potential all the time, collectively with the planets or personally in our relationships, where we have this opportunity either to relate to that energy through light or shadow. What do you, I guess, how do you orient towards the light if there's the potential for both?
The way to work with this Aquarius energy is to go with the flow. Don't cling to the way things have always been. Like, whatever shifting is happening right now that is splitting your mind, that splitting feeling is the fact that you realize that your reality is shifting radically, and you may not want it to. And so you have to sit with it for a second and say, okay, I don't like what's happening, but I can't stop what's happening. I can only learn how to engage with what's happening to be a part of the energetic shift. Like, when the earthquake happens, you can't stop it. You can't say, I'm going to hold the house and nothing. No, like, you have to duck and cover or find shelter in some way. So whatever is happening collectively here, which could feel like an earthquake, could feel like a radical shift, you have to find a way to accept your new reality and see things from this new, broader perspective.
So the adjustment in terms of, are we orienting towards the light or the shadow of these, all of these changes, you're encouraging us to be responsible for the way we're interacting with
yes,
it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. The more that you're pressing against it and saying, no, I don't like it. I don't want it to be this way. We've got to turn back the clock. The harder it's going to be for you, the more you're going to be lost in the shadow. And maybe you need to spend some time in the shadow to reflect upon why you're having so much of a struggle with the shift and give yourself that space. But, you know, things kind of feel like they're going to be happening fast and furious here with all of this Aquarius energy building up. Because it's not just Mars, but it's also Venus is going to be moving into Aquarius this week. And when Venus moves into Aquarius, it's going to form a conjunction with Pluto. So, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself because there's one transit I got to get to between this one and that one.
Okay. I guess I'm concerned that we might have more violence in store for us on a collective level, which we've all been seeing play out for several months now.
Yes.
And that's been incredibly painful to witness. And I'm just wondering, you know, we always have a choice in regard to how we want to interact with the material that's happening on the public stage. And while I know that intuitively, I also know that witnessing pain, violence, war really starts to weigh on the individual. When there's only so much, when it might feel like there's only so much that we can do.
That really plays into this Aquarius energy, because the Aquarius energy, it kind of takes away the feeling from it. You know, maybe this is a thing where it's like something happens and like the emotion that, that was once behind it isn't there anymore. And maybe that's sad. I don't know if I'm saying that people aren't going to care about the violence or if they're going to become more logical somehow about what's happening and maybe that will shift something in a positive way. I don't know. But it does feel like there could be, maybe there is some violence behind this with Mars and Pluto conjunct. It feels like there could be something volatile, something violent and explosive happening here. And it's going to build too, because as Mars transits through Aquarius, it's going to eventually meet up with Jupiter in about a week and square off with Jupiter, the god of thunder. So I think back to, I mean, I really wish that I could get with a historian and just go back through time and look at all the different transits. But I know like several years ago, I was watching the Ken Burns documentary on Vietnam. And I mean, it's like a 10 parts, like a 20 hour thing. It probably took me 40 hours to watch it because I was stopping every time they shared a date and I was looking at where the planets were. And on this one date, it was like in 1968 when, I don't remember the battle off the top of my head, but this was sort of the moment in the Vietnam War. I think it was 1968, it might have been 67, but where everyone kind of realized that the United States was now had 2 feet in. It wasn't just like a toe or a foot. It was like, no, they're fully invested because there was some big battle that occurred. And I looked at where the planets were and Mars was opposite Jupiter.
So that's what will happen for us in the immediate future?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
It's not Mars. It's Mars square Jupiter, which is more intense than Mars opposite Jupiter. But my point is that the god of war was opposing the god of thunder. And next week, the god of war squares the god of thunder. So I don't know if that means more war, more violence, or whatever, but I don't predict those things. But all I'm saying is, what does that sound like to you? When the God of War squares off with the God of Thunder, when the God of War sits on top of the God of Death, to me, that sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. It sounds intense. It sounds volatile.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean in reality? I don't know. Right. I can't say.
Of course, we're not here making predictions, mm-hmm. but I guess what I'm wondering is, how can we, on a collective level, learn how to work with this Mars energy? Because the shadow expression of Mars is war.
Mm-hmm.
We know the Mars is not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's an important planet in relationship to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We will continue to engage with it. And I know we're also holding hope. There's always hope that we won't have to be at war anymore. But I'm wondering how possible that is when we have interactions with Mars on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we transform that energy? How do we find the higher expression of Mars so that we can start to move?
The higher expression of Mars is courage, and courage stems from love. The shadow side of Mars is the war energy, which stems from fear.
Hmm.
Why do two people fight each other? Because they're afraid of one another. They feel that you are threatening me, so I have to hurt you in order to protect myself. And the other person says, well, you are threatening me and I have to hurt you to protect myself. So it's all rooted in fear.
Hmm.
Nobody's killing somebody out of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's fear. So when you think back to the last two times that Mars transited through Aquarius, the last two times were March 5th to April 14th, 2022. And the time before that was March 30th to May 12th, 2020. So the March 30th to May 12th, 2020, that was during all the COVID stuff.
Hmm.
2022, I can't really think what was going on back then. But what I do know is neither of those transits through Aquarius involved a conjunction with Pluto in Aquarius, or a squaring of Jupiter in Taurus, which to me are those sort of intense transits that are coming about that we didn't experience the last two times. When you think back to when Mars was in Capricorn, forming a conjunction with Pluto, which was back in March of 2020, which was there with Jupiter and Saturn all together in Capricorn, that was COVID.
Right.
You had the God of Thunder, the God of Death, the God of War, and the God of Wealth and Time all together in Capricorn. Something's going to shift. And it did. Now, Pluto's moved into Aquarius and Mars is going to hit that point. Who knows? It could be nothing, you know? But how to work with the light side of the energy? I mean, nothing is nothing. It's obviously going to be something. What it is, we don't know. But how to work with the light side of the energy is, think of the light side of Aquarius and the light side of Mars. The light side of Mars is courage. Aquarius is invention, innovation, independence. So do you have the courage to be independent? Do you have the courage to be yourself, to be unique? Do you love yourself enough to advocate for your unique perspective for the benefit of the group? How are we taking action to support society rather than tear society down?
So there's a real invitation around, maybe it's creative activism, perhaps. Like, I think of a light side of the Mars energy. You mentioned courage, and Mars also represents action and movement, which to me feels like activism.
Well, and activism is sort of a key word of Aquarius.
It is.
Because Aquarius is about society. It's about social causes. Mm-hmm. So maybe the light side, like you're saying, is what action do you want to take to support your social cause? And maybe your social cause is, I want peace. Mm-hmm. So maybe this energy is encouraging people in society to create a movement for peace, to transform society so that we have peace. We're done with war. We're not going to be behind this. Our government's doing this. Mm-hmm. We don't want this. Maybe that is what this energy is on the light side.
It sounds like it's going to require doing or advocating or active or becoming an activist in a new way, though, that's never been done before.
Yes, that's also the Aquarius energy.
That's what I'm hearing.
Innovative. Mm-hmm. How can we be more innovative? It's like, I think I saw a post you shared on your stories on Instagram that said, and help me out here, but it said something like, if you want to stop war, then you need to be smarter at planning for peace than the people are planning for war.
I can't remember, who said that, but I think the quote is, people who love peace need to be better at planning than people who love war.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, need to be smarter at planning than people who love war.
Well, people who want peace, I think there can be something really passive about wanting peace, mm-hmm. or the expression of, you know, feeling into peace can be really quiet, like meditation or prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really beautiful way to relate to peace. But it sounds like we're being called into action, like peaceful action, like prayer and working with peace on an energetic level is not really what's required at this time. Like Mars is about bringing action into physical reality.
Yes.
So the kind of activism that we need to learn is on a physical level. And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but it has to go beyond, you know, reposting things on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It has to go beyond like the non-physical realm, and it has to become a part of the physical.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mars is energizing society. It's energizing the activist energy. Mm-hmm. It's energizing that push for peace, because Aquarius, in a sense, really wants peace. Aquarius is about equality for all.
Yeah.
And so there is this motivating force from now, February 12th to March 22nd, mm-hmm. that is encouraging the collective to be motivated,
mm-hmm.
to raise the frequency. You know, when I think of Aquarius, it's fixed air. What tone are we setting? Is the tone down here or is the tone up here?
Mm-hmm.
What is the frequency? What is the tone that we're setting with Aquarius? So if the tone is war, then that's the tone. If the tone is peace, then that's the peace. But either way, there needs to be action and energy behind the tone.
Mm-hmm. But it needs to look different than it's ever looked before.
And that's what it's about. Aquarius is about innovation. Mm-hmm. How can we do things differently?
Right.
Because it hasn't worked before. So we need to think of a different way to solve these problems.
We do. Yeah. I guess I just thank you for going into that
I
with me.
I love it.
It's been such a dark, heavy time. And I think so many of us have not known what to do. And it's encouraging for me to hear that on a planetary level, that there's really this invitation to step up, to learn how to do things differently. And I don't know what that looks like.
We don't have to know right now, but it's going to happen.
But I feel encouraged that there's a transformation coming that could transform this energy of war into something else.
Mm-hmm. When you think about Aquarius, it's ruled by Saturn, but also ruled by Uranus. Uranus is the planet of genius, the planet of innovation. And so Pluto transiting through Aquarius is transforming our genius mind. It's opening our mind. It's splitting our mind. It's thinking outside the box. Mars is giving us the energy to push our thoughts into new realms.
Right.
That did not exist before. Oh my God, I never thought of this. How come we haven't thought of this? This is a great idea. You know, like that's where we're headed here on the light side.
Yeah. So maybe whatever ideas or concepts there are around aligning towards peace, they start in that non-physical place, but then they have to be moved. They have to transform into a physical manifestation of some sort.
Mm-hmm. This is the sign of ideas, of new ideas. So you maybe there is some sort of shift happens here that makes people uncomfortable, but it's that discomfort that stimulates the new idea. That then people are willing to put in the work to bring that idea into reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, and really, when you think about it, that's how all inventions begin.
Exactly.
They begin because something doesn't exist, and that brings about discomfort.
Mm-hmm. We have to shift this.
Yeah, so the discomfort is actually necessary for the new way to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say we're pretty uncomfortable. I think we've mastered the discomfort in terms of how, you know, human beings are relating to one another on a collective level. I think we're there.
Yes.
Like we're pretty maxed out on discomfort.
Massive changes are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your role?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your role?
That's the question.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What do you have to give?
Yes. What are you bringing to the shift? To the change.
Yeah. Are you the idea person or are you the executor or are you both? Like, where are you on that spectrum of transformation?
Yes. Yeah. Lots to think about.
Really important questions.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
So the second transit this week is Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, transiting through Capricorn, the cardinal earth sign symbolized by the goat, and forming a sextile, a positive aspect to Neptune, the god of freshwater and the sea, the planet of illusion, deception, compassion, and intuition, transiting through the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish and ruled by Neptune, Pisces. So this is the last aspect that Venus makes in Capricorn before it transits into Aquarius. This is a transit that is occurring from Sunday, February 11th until Wednesday, February 14th, forming an exact sextile on Tuesday, February 13th, the same day that Mars forms an exact conjunction with Pluto, is Tuesday, February 13th. So both of these are happening at the same time. So even though there's like this shock that's happening with Mars and Pluto conjunct in Aquarius, there is also this sort of soothing or healing nature of relationships where all the work that we've done since Venus transited into Capricorn back in late January is we've done this work. We've done the work. We're clear about where we are on the mountain, what the mountain is that we're on, where we're headed, who we're with. Now the alignment with Neptune is, what do you want to manifest for your relationships? What are your fantasies for your relationships? Whether it's a lover, a friend, a business partner. How can you be more compassionate in your relationships? Empathetic in your relationships? These are the frequencies that we're working through here. How can you hold your partner accountable for the dream that you've come up with together? Are you taking responsibility for your part in the dream that you share with your partner? So hopefully this is a transit that brings about healing in terms of being able to really step into our power as the authority. Where I have the right to advocate for what I want for myself and for the relationship.
Yeah. And am I taking action that is really oriented towards what I say my dreams are? Are those aligned?
I love that right there.
That feels like
Because you can talk all day about, I have a dream for this and I want that and all these different things, but then you don't do anything about it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of what I was saying a moment ago, too, about that Mars energy, too. It's like, I think we can see how the planets are really encouraging us to make that leap between the non-physical realm to the physical realm. It's like there's an alignment that we need to learn how to align those parts of ourselves so that we can dream the dream. And not only can we allow ourselves to dream, what do we want our lives to look like, our relationships, our society, what kind of world do we want to live in? And not only to dream that dream and stay in that fantasy realm, but to actually determine what steps we need to take in order for that dream to become a reality.
Yes.
And up to this time, I don't think we've known how to do that. Because so much of our sort of fantasy life, like you remind us often of this expression, Netflix and chill. You know, all of these ways that we are invited into the fantasy realm through media, through music, through, you know, these other realms, you know, we don't necessarily, you know, after you've watched a movie or a show or played a game, you know, if you're into gaming, you don't necessarily figure out how to bring that world back into your world. Like, you're not necessarily thinking of ways to integrate them. You know, we have a real separation. Like, you watch the movie, you enjoy it, you turn it off, and then you go back to your life.
So you're saying take whatever you're consuming, whether it's video games or film.
No, I'm saying that the way that we've related to fantasy has kept the fantasy separate from reality. And what I'm hearing in these transits is that we need to start connecting the two.
So how do we do that? What does that look like?
I think it's about engaging with our own fantasies and our own dreams versus the dream fantasy realm in the media.
Yes. Because it's the dream fantasy realm in the media that's maybe controlling your dreams. You don't have dreams because your dreams are just what you see on the screen.
Yeah, and I think they're often so fantastical, what we see in the media. It's so fantastical that there's no real connection to our own lives. And so we've sort of learned that there's this really stark contrast between fantasy and the dream space and reality. But we're moving towards a time where we'll be able to start manifesting more quickly. But we, in order to do that, need to have our own dreams and fantasy world really activated.
And they've been numbed.
And the media in general, meaning movies, all of that, is sort of taking up our space where we could be creative with our own dreams and what we want to create in reality. Where we actually could be connecting those worlds of the non-physical to the physical. But engaging with this media is keeping us in this place of separateness. Does that make sense?
The way that I'm hearing it is because we engage with the media so much, we've lost the capacity to imagine things on our own and bring those fantasies or dreams into reality.
Yes.
Because we're conditioned and connected to the media messaging that we don't even know what our own fantasies are.
Right, exactly. So when we have that urge to escape because we've had a long day and we're tired, instead of escaping into our own fantasy realm, of maybe how we would like the day to be different or how we would like our lives to transform, we turn to these different aspects of media to numb out, creating this really stark contrast between our world and that world,
mm-hmm.
where they remain separate.
Yep. There's a reason why my mom and dad, especially my mom, were like, you're only watching an hour of TV every day. You get 1 hour.
Yeah. I feel like we really understand the value of limiting media for children, but maybe not with adults.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, myself included, I can get really caught up in the fantasy of a show and, you know, the way that shows come out now, multiple seasons are released at once. Mm-hmm. It really is encouraging you to get lost in that fantasy that really has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's not just the shows or that kind of, it's also sports,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when you see the way that people,
that's your kryptonite.
It is. But even I'm not who I was, you know, it's like, I used to be the person, like, if a team lost, it would devastate me, you know? Mm. I'd be so heartbroken, so upset, screaming, yelling at the screen because the players aren't doing what I want them to do. I don't really... I watch it now as, like, just sort of a form of passive entertainment, but because I'm separate from it now... And I don't have that same level of passion. You know, it's a reason why they call a fan, because it's short for fanatic.
Hmm.
Because these people are fanatical. I was fanatical. And when you watch the way people behave at a game or after a game, it's
wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. I've witnessed some of that before.
And even like the players, like I think they're in shock, you know? Mm. It's almost like if you run into an actor who played the villain on your favorite soap opera, you saw that person on the street. And you're like, you're the worst person ever. I can't believe. And that person's just like, it's a show. Huh. I'm not really that person, you know?
Yeah.
But that's how people get with players.
Hmm.
You know, they'll get in their face like, you didn't run the ball. You didn't do it. You know, and it's like, I'm just doing my job and it's entertainment. And you need to take it less seriously than you are. But sports are such a pacifier for masculinity.
Hmm.
I don't have the strength to be on a football field. So I project my lack of masculine energy on this screen where there's men hitting each other.
Hmm. You're projecting your desire to engage in masculine energy.
Yes. So right. Rather than me doing something masculine, I watch other people do something masculine.
Right. Instead of finding what that might look like for you.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
So, wow, what a tangent this has been.
I know, but it's really a deep invitation into just orienting differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everything in moderation, I really do. I think there's so much we can learn from these temptations and sort of these rabbit holes. So there's no judgment here. Mm-hmm. I engage with media too, but it's just interesting to think about what these transits are really inviting us into.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big message that I'm getting.
Yes.
Dream your own dreams so they can become real.
Right. Amazing.
Third transit,
Mercury, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination, is making alignments with three key points or planets, just as we were talking last week. Last week, it was the Sun and Venus that were aligning in these areas. This week, it's Mercury. So Mercury, you might remember, is aligning like the Sun and Venus did last week with Chiron and the North Node in Aries and Uranus in Taurus. So because Mercury is in Aquarius, it's forming a positive aspect, a supportive aspect with Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound, and the North Node, the soul's purpose or karmic pathway of the soul, in the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram, Aries. While also forming a square, a stressful aspect to Uranus, the primordial sky god, the planet of revolution, rebellion, innovation, independence, and the unexpected, in the fixed earth sign symbolized by the bull, Taurus. Mercury is aligning with Chiron in the North Node from Wednesday to Friday, February 14th to the 16th, with an exact sextile on Thursday, February 15th, while Mercury forms the square to Uranus from February 15th to the 17th, Thursday to Saturday, with an exact square happening on Friday the 16th. So the planet of the mind transiting through the sign of invention, that in and of itself is, what are you doing to activate your mind, to be innovative, to not look at something else and say, oh, that's a nice outfit because they're wearing it, I want to wear it too, or projecting yourself into fantasy, coming up with your own ideas. So how am I coming up with my own ideas? What are my original thoughts? What are my original thoughts? What are my original thoughts? And with the alignment to Chiron in the North Node, am I afraid to share them? What are my fears in sharing my original thoughts? What are my insecurities in sharing my original thoughts? Then the aspect to Uranus, and you talk about bringing the idea into reality. Mercury is in Aquarius, that's the mind in the sign of ideas, aligning with Uranus, the planetary ruler of Aquarius, in the sign of reality, Taurus, Earth. So the first step is awakening to your original idea, facing your fears or insecurities and sharing those ideas, having the courage to share those ideas or to listen to ideas from someone else. And then how can I bring the idea into reality in a way that invites one of the five physical senses? Sight, sound, smell, taste, touch.
So again, bringing it into reality. I think that's a really exciting invitation. And potentially really challenging for some of us.
Yes, because the challenge is the square between Mercury and Uranus. Okay, you have the idea. Cool. You face your fears of sharing the idea. Even better. Then you share the idea and you get some nods, and then you start to work on the idea and you start to show people, and it's not nearly as great as you imagined it, you thought it would be.
Well, when you share your ideas with others, you might get feedback, right? That might not be what you want to hear.
Exactly.
So sometimes it's hard to share an idea when it's in its infancy. It can feel really vulnerable because maybe the idea is not fully formed and you're not quite ready for feedback. But the feedback also has a potential to help the idea be stronger. I think there's this whole part to this that feels important to mention, though, is you know, how much are we really allowing ourselves to sit with the discomfort that we mentioned earlier, that we need the discomfort so that we recognize that things need to change? Because we have so many opportunities to dissociate. And we talked about the window of tolerance mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. And when you're outside of the window of tolerance, you're in either fight, flight, or freeze. And I think we could say collectively, we have this fight energy we talked about earlier with Mars. And I think as a result that some of us go into freeze when we're encountering fight or flight, you know,
yeah, we don't know what to do.
We don't know what to do. And so there's a tendency to numb out, you know, through the different forms available. But in order to recognize the need for change and really be willing to access ideas, step into a vulnerable state to share them, we have to be willing to kind of deal with our discomfort
mm-hmm.
in a way that still allows us some form of action.
Yes, exactly. That's the only way they're going to come into fruition is through having help.
And by being in a regulated state.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, when you're outside of the window of tolerance, you're dysregulated.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your nervous system is not in a regulated, healthy place. And that's where healthy, positive change comes from. That's where healing happens within the window of tolerance.
Yes.
So if you're numbing out and you're frozen or you're having a fight or flight response, whatever is coming up for you during this time,
mm-hmm.
it's preventing you from seeing clearly what is your role in it.
Hmm.
So that's why we really have to be careful. And I know this is kind of a polarizing topic, but how much are you really engaging with the news?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on one extreme, we have the folks who watch it 24/7, who really like to be informed.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, you might have people who ignore it completely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone is just doing what they think is best for them. But I would encourage everyone to engage with whatever material you can in terms of current events, only to the level that you can stay regulated.
Yes.
Because once you're dysregulated, you're actually not able to retain anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not able to take any action from a grounded place. So we do have to, it's just like, you know, alcohol intake mm-hmm. or sugar intake.
Exactly.
We have to be mindful of how much we're exposing ourselves to,
mm-hmm.
no matter what that is.
Yes. Exactly. The news is like a bottle of alcohol. So when you open it up, you turn it on, take that drink, you know it's going to do something to you.
Mm-hmm.
So how much can you consume
mm-hmm.
to still be coherent?
Well, you just used a really important word is consume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much are you taking into your spirit?
Yes.
And, you know, social media is a form of consumption.
Exactly.
Any eating is consumption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're very comfortable with consumption in our culture. And we're really, that's being advocated to us all the time to make purchases, to eat, to drink, to watch movies, to listen to music. I mean, all of that is a form of consumption
mm-hmm.
where you're taking material or information that's outside of you and putting it inside of you
mm-hmm.
in simple
exactly.
terms. And so we become so full of information and food and substances and stories and music and movies and characters. It's like, no wonder so many struggle with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You need to also have practices that help you empty.
Yes.
After you've consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you also would benefit from consuming less in the first place.
Yes.
And everyone has a different tolerance for
totally.
That too. So you might have, you know, a family member, a friend who can consume a lot more than you can,
mm-hmm.
whether it's media, alcohol, food, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's just important to consider, you know, as we talk about what are you able to contribute on an individual level to society, it really starts with what are you capable of holding in terms of consumption, and yes. what are your practices that help you empty out, and, you know, working within that window of tolerance, working within it helps you expand it.
Yeah.
So it's not that you'll have the same tolerance indefinitely, mm-hmm. but staying within it will help support you in being able to tolerate more.
Yes.
Which I think sometimes when we're overloading ourselves with information, it's because we want to be able to hold it all. We're really like, ah, I'm hungry for this knowledge. But pushing yourself too far, it's like overstretching. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get you to the place of flexibility that you'd really like to have.
Right. I think that we are being pushed to engage collectively in the community, because as we move to the fourth transit, where Venus transits into Aquarius, you know, by now, which happens on February 16th, so we have a couple days here where we're going to have the Sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Pluto all in Aquarius. Five planets in Aquarius. Let's have a party. Let's see how much we can tolerate social situations. But this is pushing all the scorpions out of their caves. It's forcing the Taurus energy to share and to be a part of the collective. That's what, you know, and whether you're born with the Sun in Scorpio or the Sun in Taurus, or you just have planets there, most of us probably have some planets there. Mm-hmm. Those parts of yourself are being pushed out into the collective to, like, we're being forced to be social and to play with your friends. Mm-hmm. Play with your friends. See what you can learn from them. Mm-hmm. Share your ideas. Show them your ideas. If you don't get the feedback that you like or that you wanted, that's helping shift something for you so that you can eventually get to that point.
Yeah.
Venus is transiting through Aquarius from February 16th to March 11th. The last time Venus transited through Aquarius was January 2nd to the 26th, 2023. The time before that was March 5th to April 5th, 2022. So think back to those dates for clues on what could be in store for you this time around. But when Venus transits through Aquarius, it's about releasing codependencies, becoming more independent in your relationships. You're able to do that because you have more than one friend.
Because you've expanded your social circle.
Yes.
Okay.
Venus in Aquarius is like, stop fixating on one person. Let's have a bunch of friends. This friend isn't giving me what I want. Okay, well, I'm going to go get it from that friend. I'm going to share with this friend, and then I'm going to share with that friend. I'm going to hang out with a lot of different people, or I'll go to a party where there's a bunch of different people. And unless you're talking to me because I'm a Scorpio and I'm going to corner you, and then I'm the only person you talk to at the party. For most people, you're going to talk for a few minutes with every, you have that window of tolerance for your capacity to talk to a single person, to engage with a single person. You know, maybe there's some ideas that are coming about that are new and innovative, and maybe we're talking about the state of the world, but maybe the topics are also somewhat lighter.
It feels lighter. As you describe it, it's like a buffet. You're just taking little samplings.
Exactly.
Almost.
Exactly. It's getting the broader spectrum of everything. Try to see all the perspectives. That's ultimately like when you were talking earlier about the light side of Aquarius, the light side of Aquarius is being able to see all sides of the perspective. It's not fixating on one side being right and the other side being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's about recognizing where are the fears. There has to be some fear here. So trying to understand logically the nature of the fear for all sides that are involved in whatever conflict.
Okay.
But just in terms of this Venus energy, it's the planet of love. So what's the status of your love for society, for humanity, for your community, your neighborhood, any group that you are a part of, any social cause that you are a part of? What's the status of your love?
That's a great question.
I'll say for those who were born the Pluto generation, like we talked about last week, when we had the question, oh, what does it mean with Pluto in Aquarius squaring Pluto in Scorpio? With Venus transiting through Aquarius, it's going to bring about some big changes for the 84 to 95ers. If you were born between 84 and 95, you were born with Pluto in Scorpio, which means during this transit of Venus transiting through Aquarius, you may go through a difficult transformation of your relationships, of your relationship energy. Like we were saying with Mars earlier in the week, as Venus transits into Aquarius, it forms that conjunction with Pluto. So there's going to be this immediate feel of transformation. This is a transit that begins on Thursday and goes until Saturday, from February 15th to the 17th. It actually makes it its exact conjunction on Saturday. So the initiation of Venus in Aquarius is perhaps immediately transforming or changing your relationship energy, transforming your senses, how you feel about the community, the group that you're a part of.
So those are some good notes to just keep in mind. Some good questions, things to stay curious about.
Yes.
Maybe how that's changing for you.
What's changing about your relationships, especially 84 to 95? If you were born between 84 and 95, what's changing, what's transforming about your relationships? If you weren't born in that time frame, but you know, maybe you're feeling something right at the beginning when Venus transits into Aquarius around February 16th. Maybe you're feeling some shift. What is that shift? I'm curious to know. Write us. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
And if you're curious to know how the Venus transit, the Mars transit, or the next transit we're going to talk about, the Sun in Pisces, if you're curious to know how these transits are affecting you directly, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com.
And before you move on, I just want to remind everyone this energy of transformation involves a death and a birth. So things will die in your relationship, ways of being, ways of orienting. Maybe some arguments will finally be put to rest. They will die. They will no longer need to be hashed out. And then you might find yourself, maybe relationships will end. That could be another literal interpretation. And then there might be, I always like to just remind anyone with a transformation that sometimes there is a void before the birthing process. So think about like that 9 months of gestation in the womb before the birth occurs. And then the whole birth.
9 months before now, what's been going on?
Well, not literally 9 months. On astrological terms, I'm just using that as an example birth doesn't happen immediately, that there's a void. There's some sort of it might be a period that feels like you're just sitting with the loss because what's being birthed hasn't happened yet. So just to say that there's three parts I like to think of it as with transformation: a death, the void, and then the birth.
So with these transits, each one, Mars conjunct Pluto, Venus conjunct Pluto, the death and rebirth. Think about, what do I want to release in terms of how I act within the community, how I engage with the community, my sense of authenticity within the community? What do I want to release, and what do I want to create the life, the new life moving forward? For Venus, what do I want to release from my relationship energy? And what do I want to create?
Yes.
What do I want to bring to life in terms of how I relate to the community independently?
And in that void energy too is often where we have to interact with grief. Sometimes even when we have we go through a death process of something that we think we're really ready to let go of, we still have to grieve it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because maybe that thing, that really hard thing, was serving us, was a pacifier of some sort. So oftentimes when we feel like, oh, I'm so ready to let go of this part of myself or my relationship, and then you're like, oh, why am I grieving this thing that I was so ready to let go of? But there's grief there too.
It makes me think of one of my favorite movies when I was in my 20s, Swingers. I think we watched that movie.
I think we watched that together a while ago.
With, you know, Jon Favreau is playing this guy who he's moved to Hollywood a couple years ago, and he's trying to make it as a stand-up comedian. And, you know, in moving to Hollywood, he left his girlfriend in Chicago. They broke up. He moved out here, but he's just been heartbroken in this funk, and his friends are constantly trying to, like, help him out of this funk of the sadness that he has in his girlfriend being with another man now and all this sort of stuff. And one of his friends says, they're sitting at the cafe, and Jon Favreau's like, when is the pain going to go away? And he's like, or when? And he's like, when you stop thinking about her. And that, because he's mad, he's upset because she's not calling him. And he's like, when you stop thinking about her, that's when she'll call. And he's like, why is that? He's like, I don't know. Women just have a sixth sense. They just know once you're not thinking about them anymore, that's when they call. And he's like, but, you know, the pain, there's going to come a point where it's going to be gone, but you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the pain. You're going to miss the pain.
Yeah.
And he's like, miss the pain? And he's like, yeah, you actually do. You miss it.
Isn't that a funny concept?
Yeah, exactly. Because it was a part of your life for so long.
Yeah.
That it's sad that it's gone. It was like, the pain was like your friend through the hard times, and now it's, and it was awful to have it around, but now that it's gone, you feel sad that it's gone too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I can relate to that from that respect. But there I am relating from, like, a film perspective and not my own imagination. So speaking of film, let's move on to our fifth transit. The sun, the giver of light, life, and vitality, transiting in to the sign that rules film, television, doom scrolling, the endless Instagram scroll, watching sports, video games, all the things that we do when we're staring at a screen and we're not present with ourselves here and now in this place of reality. Pisces,
yeah.
Music is another form
of alcohol.
Pisces is ruled by the fish. Do you know the phrase, drink like a fish? Pisces rules drugs and alcohol. So from February 18th to March 19th, as it is every year, from either February 18th or February 19th to March 19th, the sun is in Pisces, bringing its light, life, and vitality to our unconscious, the place where we keep our guilt, shame, regret, blame, and our dreams and fantasies.
Well, and maybe you said this and I missed it, but Pisces rules the unconscious.
Yes.
So you listed all of those ways that we can sort of engage with things unconsciously, but Pisces rules the unconscious itself and our dream space.
Yes.
So within that Pisces, the potential for that Pisces energy, we can sort of engage in our own realm of it or in this sort of forms of escapism. So there's this sort of a invitation there.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole, this whole period, February 18th to March 19th is like an open invitation for you to delve into your unconscious,
mm-hmm.
to explore what's there, to pay attention to your dreams.
Mm.
Like when you escape, whether it's through drugs and alcohol, Netflix and chill, binge watching, whatever your form of escapism is, think about sort of that void period, that gestation period, the pregnancy. Before you turn on the screen, think about where have you been for the last several hours?
Hmm.
Who have you come into contact with? What are the conversations that you've been having? For example, maybe you're being social because all this Aquarius energy and you're out there in the world and you were at a social event and everybody at the lunch you were at was talking about war and the state of the world and how awful everything is and everything is screwed up and we're all doomed. So you go home, you get into bed and you open up your computer or your turn on your phone or your TV and you delve into some form of fantasy. Perhaps the reason why you're wanting to delve into the fantasy is because you are feeling out of your realm of tolerance, your window of tolerance mm-hmm. with the conversations that occurred at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe somebody said something at lunch that really stuck at you, but maybe you're not even fully aware of what it was. Take some time to reflect upon the lunch that you had, the conversations that were had, and go deep within yourself to ask yourself the question, why do I feel the urge to escape right now? What am I trying to escape? Is it because I'm afraid of what's happening in the world? Or is it because my friends are afraid of what's happening in the world and that makes me uncomfortable because now I feel like I have to be afraid? There's something wrong with me. Like it could go any number of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that Pisces is ruled by Jupiter, the largest planet, the planet of expansion. It's ruled by Neptune, the god of the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
So these are vast areas that we don't even fully comprehend or understand.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand Jupiter. We've never been there. We don't even understand the oceans.
We will never fully understand our unconscious.
Exactly.
No matter how much dream work we do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is driving you to that bottle of alcohol, to that gummy bear, to that joint or that pill or that program that is pulling you from your reality?
Mm-hmm. It's an important question. And it might not be immediately clear.
Right. It might not be. But regardless of what comes up, I think the key ingredient here is to, number one, have compassion for yourself at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're thinking, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're escaping from, remind yourself that you are one with the universe. You are one with God. That's Pisces. Pisces is the final sign of the zodiac. It carries the weight of the 11 previous signs. It knows all the signs.
Pisces rules the feet.
The feet carry the weight of the entire body.
Right.
You are...
The feet also, if you study reflexology, they're connected to every organ. The bottoms of your feet are connected to every organ in your body.
Exactly.
So that's why sometimes we have a desire to escape.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a lot of Pisces in your chart,
mm-hmm.
because you're feeling everything at once.
Yes.
That's
yes.
a lot to feel. It's a lot
it's
to
a
know.
Lot. So that's why it's so important to give yourself the compassion
mm-hmm.
that you deserve, and you deserve the compassion of God, of the oceans. It's massive. The universe, it's infinite. But to also have faith that you're making the right choice, that you've made the right choices, that no matter what you're going through, the universe is always conspiring for your highest good. Shout out to Ricky. She always says that.
I know Ricky, remember?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's a beautiful expression.
Yes.
I would say that the Pisces energy, though, is even beyond right or wrong.
Did I use those words?
I think you did.
Yeah. That even if you make a wrong decision, a right decision, there is no wrong or right decision. There is just choices.
Mm-hmm. Just different lessons.
Different lessons.
I think is how I think of it.
Different lessons. Your soul came here to learn something, and every choice you make is guiding you down the path to learn the lessons that you're meant to learn so that your soul can grow and evolve in the way that it's meant to.
Mm-hmm. So what are we really saying here with Pisces season coming in?
I don't know, and that's the point.
Well, because on one hand...
We're all lost during Pisces season.
We're out at sea. Well, because on one hand, we're saying be mindful of escapism, but we're also saying that you have to escape because you're in the ocean. So
exactly.
I'm just like trying to get clear on our own.
If you have no clarity after this, then we're right on track. All the point is to get your mind thinking and wondering.
Yeah.
That's it. There is no answer. The only answer is the next question. And to go deeper. I have a client, a couple clients, Cosmic Pathway, that are Pisces. And, you know, when I do the Cosmic Pathway work, it's so fun because each client is like a different thing. When someone's coming to me for the Cosmic Pathway, they're like, so what are we going to do during the time or whatever? It's up to you. And like my Pisces clients, I don't know where we've been, where we're going, you know, it's
where are we now? Where are we going?
Exactly.
Where have we been?
But I know that the time just evaporates.
Mm-hmm.
There is no time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it. So just, you know, think of yourself floating on the sea. The waves may get enormous and frighten you. And then other times it might be very calm. But then you might be afraid because you don't know what's beneath you. But then it feels magical.
Pisces is definitely the realm of non-physical reality.
Yes, it's the ethereal realm.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other side.
Yeah.
It's the when the veil's thin. Like when I meet somebody who is a Pisces rising or has Neptune in the first house, it's often I find myself challenged in really
seeing them.
Yeah.
In some way.
Putting my finger on them or whatever, because they're constantly shifting or moving like the water.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ethereal nature to them. They almost don't seem human. They're like extraterrestrial in a sense.
Yeah. Huh.
Yes. People that are Pisces sun, Pisces moon, Pisces rising, first house Neptune, Neptune conjunct the sun, Neptune square or trine or sextile the sun, opposite the sun. Those people are otherworldly. They're the aliens. The star seeds. Shall we do questions?
Let's do questions.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I'm awesome. Ready to get out of the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gabrielle is drowning over here. Gabrielle is drowning. Let's pull her out. Let's get to some questions.
This question for the day comes from Lucas, and they say, September 86er here.
Oh.
That's also me.
Yes.
Hi, Lucas. I've had some serious encounters with my shadow since the new moon in Capricorn a few days ago, and it's been very challenging. How can I lean into this?
Lucas, thank you so much for your question. 1,000 apologies, because obviously, as you're listening to this episode, we're already with the sun in Pisces. So the new moon in Capricorn was, you know, about 6 weeks ago, five, 6 weeks ago. So,
but you might still be integrating. Of course, sure, the
absolutely.
Experiences.
Yes. So, yeah. You know, of course, we're very grateful. We get a lot of questions, and unfortunately, because of that, we can't answer all of them and necessarily the timeliness that some may seek. But if you're encountering your shadow during the new moon in Capricorn, you were born in September of 86. So that's leading me to believe that you're a Libra. Libra squares Capricorn. Mm-hmm. That creates tension. Cardinal air, Libra, cardinal earth, Capricorn, both cardinal make a strong aspect to each other, but air and earth don't mix. That's the challenge. So it's been very challenging for you. How can I lean into this? So you were born in September of 86, and that means that when you were born, the North Node was in Aries at 20 degrees, and that is exactly where the new moon was squaring. The new moon was at 20 degrees in Capricorn, squaring your North Node in Aries. So you are being pushed to be authentic, to practice, be courageous.
Practice boundaries.
Boundaries, self-love. These are the themes. That's what you want to lean into. Lean into those healthy boundaries that are predicated on your self-love and your sense of authenticity, being yourself, not falling back into that people pleaser frequency where you're trying to be everything to everyone. It's like, this is who I am. This is what I want. This is the direction that I'm going, and everyone get out of my way.
Absolutely.
You can speak to this probably more than I can, because as a fellow September 86er,
yeah.
What were you experiencing during that new moon in Capricorn?
I was noticing that for me, when it comes to setting boundaries, that, and maybe this is supportive for you too, Lucas, is give yourself permission to slow down when it comes to setting boundaries. So if you're feeling pressured by someone to make a decision, feel free to tell them, hey, I need a little bit of time to think about this. I know that the North Node in Aries is encouraging you to be able to act more quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
And act,
that's what I was going to say.
In some way, maybe impulsively, but
yeah.
I want to encourage you to, while you're learning to practice boundaries, that there might be a learning period where you need to slow down.
So let me put it, reflect this to you.
Okay.
So with the North Node in Aries, you want to learn to trust your instincts, follow your impulses.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're learning to trust your instincts and follow your impulses, the first impulse might be stop.
Right.
I'm not making a you're not going to rush me into a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
Yes.
And then you take your time, and you really want to, what you want to do is, and this is the challenge, this is what you're learning, I know, is you have to make a decision right now. What is it? Whatever first comes into your mind, or whatever your first instinct is, that's the one. It doesn't mean that in this infancy that you have to go with that, because you might be influenced by the person that is pressuring you to make a decision. And so that's where the slowing down part comes, is because the person that is pressuring you to make the decision might be pushing you to make the wrong decision. So you want to say stop. You slow down and you take some time to figure out what it is you want to do. But eventually you want to get to that point where you're able to instantaneously just think of yourself first, not think of anyone else. And when you're thinking about yourself first, you know what the choice is.
But still, even if your impulse is no, you might need time to learn how to articulate that properly in a way that feels good to you. And I guess I would just say that give yourself permission as well to have maybe start with a stricter boundary. So if you're in relationship with others who have a tendency to push your boundaries, or you're constantly having to reestablish boundaries, which is what was coming up for me during this period, is don't be afraid to start with a more rigid boundary.
Like a no.
But it's not always a question of yes or no.
I know.
It depends on you. It depends on the circumstance.
Yes, yes.
Like, you're thinking of things in black and white terms.
Right.
And it's not always that clean.
Sure.
Right?
Sure, yes.
So my point is, start with a more rigid boundary. It's easier then to loosen the boundary than to do the opposite.
Right.
Than to start looser right. and then try to become more rigid.
Yes.
Because I imagine, Lucas, if your experiences are anything like mine, this North Node in Aries energy is putting you in contact with people who are really going to test you, because it's what we're here to learn.
Yes.
So that's going to come in.
Yes, yes.
The point is, it's okay to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time to learn how to. It's one thing to know what your boundary is, that impulsive yes, no. It's another set of skills to learn how to communicate those boundaries.
Yes.
In a way that is clear and concise. So be gentle with yourself. Learn from your mistakes, from the experiences. How do you want to communicate differently next time? Because you will continue to come up with these situations again and again and again.
Yes.
So go easy on yourself. If it didn't go the way that you would like, learn from the experience so you can do it differently next time, because it will come back again.
Yes.
Yeah. And please let us know how it's going.
Yes.
Lucas, because this is part of my life's work too.
Exactly.
So I'd love
fellow September 86er right here.
Yep. So keep us posted.
All right.
All right. That's it for today.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone. And thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Gabriella.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. Music written by Ben Leinbach from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.